We are 1 month on from April 20th, 420. We're in 520 right now, and it's good to see you, Chris. How are you today?
Fantastic, Joe. It's good to see you. Looks like you are up and about in your house recovering from your back surgery, so that's a good sign for all of St. Pete. If you're recovering, that means our community's recovering. How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great. The mojo's coming back, and it's going to be a big couple of weeks. I hope the team is buckled up because there's a storm coming. We got good stuff coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd be nervous for your team because, I mean, you're 100% when you weren't 100%. So if you actually get healthy again, St. Pete should be really getting a little concerned about what's going to happen next. We're excited about that, Joe. And just good to see you up and around. And what I'd love to do is just kick off the meeting again as we are reopened in St. Pete. We see a lot of great activity. But let's take a look at the numbers just so we understand how our health of our community is doing as well. So here's what we have today. And I want to make sure that you all, there was some information shared in the media last night and yesterday about just our health numbers themselves from the state of Florida and concerns from the folks who put the original scorecard together about their data. You know, we have been really concerned in Pinellas County and St. Pete about that too, just to make sure we're getting the right data. That's why we've put ours, we extract ours at the Florida Chamber a little differently so that we can see our data while we, you know, we're relying on what's been put in. We're still very optimistic of what we see here. And so the things you're supposed to be looking at are our weekly percent positive cases. This needs to stay under, you know, ideally 6%, but we'd love to keep it under 4%. Right now we're trending down. We're under 2%. So that is a really good sign for us. The one that we've concerned about the last 4 days, Joe, is this average new cases. We're starting to see ourselves kind of keep bumping up around that 20 number. Mm-hmm. Let me just show you again, you start to see that trend when we're at our peak, we're at about 25 almost. We're almost at 20 again. So we're about five away from that. So if you just looked at this data, you'd be like, oh guys, I hope we're not getting back there. And it took, you know, almost a little over a month. But the good news behind it, Joe, and this is what the mayor said in his media conference yesterday, and what I want to hear, when I want to make sure every consumer and every employee and every employer hears, is that look at the numbers circled here. These are the percent positive for Pinellas County. You want to see those kind of numbers, those 1.2 numbers. So of 1,600 cases, only 20 were positive. Now that's a lot of cases, and that's a kind of a higher number. That's why we're seeing our weekly numbers stay high, but it's a low percentage. So you see us starting to test a heck of a lot more people on this. So in real terms, and what we've said is we will go back if the numbers start going the wrong way. They continue to go the right way for us, which is a very positive sign. One other chart I just thought I'd add in there is this is a chart that shows deaths, cases, and hospitalizations by age. The orange is if you were in the hospital when you had it. Blue is that they told you you had it, and gray is you passed away from it. You can certainly see how as you get older, you should be a lot more concerned. Why I share this slide is, you know, part of phase one is that the vulnerable community still needs to stay indoors and stay housed and safe because it's still not safe for those folks. So if you consider yourself a part of the vulnerable population, just look at these numbers and say, it's probably still good for you to stay at home. But for the rest of the community who does want to move out, we are seeing a trend of the younger you are, you're not seeing those numbers. So you see, if you're 65 and above and you have a health condition, my advice to you is just wear the flocking mask and stay indoors. But the rest of us, it's time to start getting back to work.
The big thing there is just make sure you always keep that macro perspective. It's so easy to get sucked down a rabbit hole of should I go out, should I not go out? You know, and at the end of the day, you decide to play it safe. What are you really losing? It's another couple days in the house. You still have options for walking and being out there. It's a much more pleasant and easier decision space to be in, to stay macro and realize that, life is good despite some of these micro frustrations, but keep the big picture in mind.
Yeah. And go places where you feel safe. If you don't feel safe because they're not wearing masks or because it's too crowded, don't go there. Just go where you feel safe, but try to get out if you want to, if you're not in that vulnerable population, because I'm telling you, we've been out these last couple of days and St. Pete is coming back and it's coming back well. And in fact, we're starting to think about the future again. So just a few weeks ago, we were all mired in the past, just wondering if we'd ever get out of it. Today, I really want to start talking a little bit more about the future. Let's talk about something, how this all started at the Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. Let's talk about, we just heard some announcements. I want to bring in the owner of that race, Kim Green, and have him help us understand it. And there he is.
Hey, guys.
Welcome, Kim. It's good to see your face, buddy. It's been a long time. I don't want to say you were the last face I saw before all this kind of blew up, but you were kind of the last face I saw. We were at your Grand Prix breakfast and brunch when we all realized that this thing got a lot more serious, a lot quicker than we all thought. And so you guys took the first hit of anybody. You guys were the first ones to have to shutter things down, take the big hit. And you've hunkered down, you've got a lot of other races. So I've got so much to talk to you about. But before you do that, before we just jump into all that, just introduce yourself to this crowd of folks. Tell people a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into the meat of this thing.
It's kind of scary. I'm Kim Green. I'm the co-owner and CEO chairman of Green Savory Racing Promotions. We are, as the name says, a racing promotions company. We own the rights and promote the Firestone Grand Prix in St. Petersburg, which is typically the opening race of the IndyCar season, has been here since 2005. We also own the rights and promote the Honda Indy Toronto, which is another street race in downtown Toronto in July. Been there since 1986. So a lot of history there. We were lucky enough back in 2011 to be able to purchase a permanent racetrack, the Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course, which again is, I think, established in 1962. Fabulous road course in rural Ohio, about an hour north of Columbus, an hour south of Cleveland. And a couple of years ago, we were asked to put on a race on a permanent racetrack out in Portland, Oregon, that's owned by the city and the county in near downtown Portland. So we put on an IndyCar race for them as well. Typically that race is in Labor Day weekend. So we have four of IndyCar's races of their 17 races in the season. And also at Mid-Ohio, we run a lot of other series, from the IMSA Sports Car Series to the NASCAR Xfinity, motorcycle racing. Basically, Mid-Ohio is busy every day almost from the beginning of April through the end of October, and that has been shut down along with my race events that were supposed to go on. Obviously, the one in March is one that went badly.
Yeah, well, that is you have quite the enterprise you're running, and so I want to dive into a little bit of it. But I can tell you're a smart man, because you have enterprises throughout the two countries, really, and you've headquartered yourself in St. Pete, so that wins, because I know you have employees across the platform there, but you're smart enough to do there. And you and I got started a little bit late just because you were trying to navigate something even more important, which is how do you get everybody off their Zoom final exams and final classes for the time, right? So you're having to navigate family and education life as well.
Yeah, I'm very blessed. I have four children, a daughter 11, a daughter 10, a son soon to be 9, and a son just turned 7. So started my family very late in life, but they are a blast. They certainly keep me grounded. And having been a dad working at home a lot in the last couple of months, and along with them doing homeschooling, has been a challenge but fun, and really, I think, bonded us even more together. And we've spent a lot of fun times around the house. I have a driveway big enough. We have a basketball hoop. We play soccer, tennis, throw footballs. We have a little backyard that goes onto the water, and so a little bit of beach and a dock. So we've been doing. Most of you might have heard of the show Wicked Tuna, which is a reality TV show about catching giant tuna, which is the kids love to watch that. Well, we had a wicked catfish contest a couple of weeks ago off the dock. Two teams, and my daughters versus my sons, and we for 2 days, I was the bait boy. We got about 16 catfish, and in 2 days, my job, bait the hooks, put the catfish back in the water. So it was a tough 2 days for me, but yeah, we had a blast. It was fun.
Cam, we're always looking for content on the Catalyst. Send it over. We need that kind of stuff.
I don't know if I'd want to take catfish off the hook too much. So I don't know, man. That's good for you on that one. They tend to get me every once in a while. So
getting pretty good at it. We've had a lot of catfish with hot dogs is the bait they seem to like.
Okay, fair enough. Well, so I think, you know, Joe and I've heard that. We've done about 50 of these shows. We've heard that about 49 times, if not 50, just how that's one of the takeaways that we're not going to forget. You know, we're going to learn a lot of lessons about our businesses and our lives, and one of them is being with family is really important, and there's nothing that can replace it. And you can't manufacture that time unless you're just there. So I'm glad you had a chance to experience what I think all of St. Pete and I think the rest of the world has, is that priorities might get shifted a little bit throughout this as well.
For sure. Yes, for sure.
Yep. So now let's talk about it. So we heard the news that you guys are contemplating bringing back in October. You guys had a completely shut down that day in March. I heard you got some people on the race car on the course Friday morning. I heard a couple people hitting it, and then all of a sudden it went quiet. Just help me understand what that experience was like for you guys.
Well, it was a whirlwind, really 72 hours. We held a press conference Wednesday morning on site as a part of the opening of the event with where we put on go-karting events in the Turn 1 area of the racetrack. One is the mayor has had a mayor's challenge go-kart race against all the other local mayors, which has become very popular. And then we do a media challenge, and then we do a charity event, which is really spearheaded and backed by Sebastian Bourdais for the local charity, and they raise money by selling teams, and that goes on into Wednesday evening, and the money goes to all children's. I think in the last couple of years we've probably presented checks to all children in the over 200,000, maybe 300,000 range. So that kicked off Wednesday. Then suddenly Thursday morning, we get called to the principal's office, the mayor's office, and there'd been a medical conference in Tampa a week or so before, and it was thought that a member of that or somebody at that conference contracted the coronavirus. The city of St. Pete had 10 or 12 people there. So then we started to get, okay, what does all this mean? Those people are now back in the city. What have they been doing? So it became a bit of a situation where the mayor felt like everything around the country was escalating very, very quickly with public events, and things were changing almost by the hour. So he felt like, one, the event could go on, but he wasn't going to allow the public. The IndyCar series and NBC TV, at that point, wanted to continue, put the event on for television. It's in the opening season race. Everybody's looking forward to it. All the teams were in place. The drivers were there, et cetera, et cetera. And so then we fired up Friday morning with some practice sessions. And then we get another call to the principal's office. This time, the IndyCar themselves and NBC TV. And things had developed over the 12-hour period from Thursday night to Friday morning, where suddenly TV was not very comfortable about having live events. And because it still involved, you know, at least 1,000 people with all the race teams, crew members, officials, etc., and our team of folks to put the event on, and nobody was prepared in a situation to have what we all know now about potential safeguards we should have on site. We had already increased the ability from hand sanitizing, hand washing, all that stuff going into the event. But I think everybody got very nervous. And in the end, we didn't end up making the decision, but the series made the decision not to continue. And so we closed everything up. And the toughest thing to do, start doing on the Saturday night, Sunday morning, is start packing it all up. You know, we obviously... putting a street race together is a huge undertaking. You know, there's about 4 miles of concrete blocks and fence. There's thousands of seats and grandstands we build, suites. So unwinding it all normally is not fun anyway, but normally it's a situation we've had a great weekend. We were going into this week, race week in March, best weather forecast, we haven't had in years. And Chris, I know you're responsible along with the weather. Thank you. And our ticket sales have been very strong. So it was going to be a great weekend. And it suddenly go bang. It was tough. And it was a little depressing having to pack up your toy box and nobody used the toys. So
yeah. Well, I tell you what, y'all's office is in the same building as the Chamber building. And on that Friday night, I came back to the office and I saw your partner, Kevin, there. And it was like, I swear he wasn't even in his body. He was like lifeless. He was like a ghost. He looked like the world had just been sucked out of him. I mean, I felt so bad for the man. He just was a shell, just kind of going, what the heck just happened? I mean, like to be that close, to be geared up, fired up, you know, the best wave of your life and all of a sudden be yanked was something else. But you see, you guys licked your wounds and then you had to figure out for all your other enterprises what that meant, right? So then all of a sudden now you have to look at beyond St. Pete and similar issues, right? Indy just kind of shut you guys down. Is that correct? Or
well, we basically, like many businesses, put a work at home in place for all of our employees. Everybody stay at home, work from home. You know, we have a group of employees in those cities I described, and so we tend to gravitate to the city that has the big event or the events that has a big event and all chip in and help. So it was then about just, you know, first of all, making sure employees were whole and everybody was okay, making sure that we all understood how we should act and, you know, protect our families, et cetera, et cetera. And then you start thinking about, okay, St. Pete didn't happen. Our next scheduled race was a big race in May in Mid-Ohio for the IMSA Sports Car Series. And suddenly that starts to unravel. And I think probably for me, one of the most frustrating things through this last 2 months or so is that you don't know what's at the end of the tunnel. You sometimes can see the light, but there's not a definitive answer. And so we're always planning and adjusting and planning and adjusting. And even getting the Grand Prix back rescheduled in St. Pete, I thought, that'd be pretty easy, but it's a lot of work. The city obviously was asking us to try and do that because the race event has been good for the city, one, not only for a great 3-hour commercial on worldwide television, but a pretty big economic impact of support for the local economy. And you know, obviously with all plans in place to bring it back in October, hopefully we can help reboost the economy down here a little bit and lend a hand. And I know a lot of the restaurant owners, I know friends that own coffee companies, and it's been tough for everybody. And it's about our challenge has been wanting to maintain all our employees at this point we have, and I'm hoping we can continue to do that. You know, we've just this week learned that the Toronto July race isn't going to happen in July. We're seeing what we can do about rescheduling that one later. We had to move the Mid-Ohio IndyCar race a week so the Indianapolis 500 could take place in late August. And we're also looking at having to move the Portland Grand Prix a week. We still don't know those races are going to happen. Luckily, we've worked very, very closely with the state of Ohio and the counties surrounding our racetrack. And we've put a lot of plans in place there. We are going to open the racetrack up next week with not for public events at this point, but with private testing. We have a very, very well-supported driving racing school there. And getting things going again, just like the rest of the world, is opening up in smaller situations and growing it as we go forward. So
good. So then that's what everyone's trying to do, is like kind of step by step, as our governor talks about, is let's get open, figure it out. So now you're going to get some people in there, get just learn how it looks to be together. But let's talk about, you know, how do you reimagine the Grand Prix in St. Pete in October when it's still, so like you said, the city wanted it, the mayor asked you to help put it together, you guys thought about it, but now like how do you, you know, you've got a date, so are you guys in mode on it? Like how are you guys operating towards that date right now? Are you full in? Is this a complete for sure thing? How do you guys look at your investment into this thing now?
It's a for sure thing, providing we can have the public there in a safe and agreed situation. So we're obviously monitoring nationally and by state what each state is going to do and allow, and obviously working with the city. Now, there are quite a lot of events planned, including IndyCar races, over the summer before our race, so to know whether these large public events can happen with crowds. And certainly, the IndyCar series is planning on a fairly big race in I think it's July 4th weekend at the Brickyard Indy 500 track, where they'll have the Brickyard 400, which is NASCAR, and an IndyCar race the same weekend with crowd. That's their plan, and they're looking at how to do the right thing. So that gives us some lead time, some runway to understand how events are happening. Obviously, I was very closely watching what NASCAR did on the weekend, having their first event at a racetrack with no crowd, but there you see with all the crew members, all the officials, how it was handled. So obviously we're monitoring all that. We are going to, we're full on certainly planning on building the street course in St. Pete again in October. We will work very, very hard to shorten the build time. We've already done that in recent years, to even shorten the build time further, and to try a little bit, see if we can be more creative. We take more risk at that point. When you start shortening a build time, we might not have as many rain day build days. It rains a lot. Sometimes your build rate's much slower. If there's any lightning or thunderstorms around, you can't build. So
I'll help you with that.
It's going forward. The weekend will be, at this point, I'm in the middle of also working on a potential schedule for that weekend with the IndyCar series, the Road to Indy, which is the three series that support the IndyCar series. We think one sports car series may not be there, but we'll still have the Porsche GT3 series wants to come, and an additional series. The Lamborghini Trofeo series wants to come as well. So I think we can have a great program.
This becomes the final race of the Indy series, then, correct? It usually kicks it off, and so that actually will kind of be a neat position for St. Pete to be in as well, I would imagine.
Yeah, certainly the way we hope, when you're a team owner, and I obviously for many, many years had a racing team, and I won a championship with Dan Weldon about five races before the end of the season, so the final race really didn't mean a lot, but the last few years with the IndyCar series, the way their point structure is, typically the last race has some meat in it about potential drivers that can win. And so having that excitement, I hope it gets to that point. And with a shortened season, I think there's a good chance it will, where you've got a group of drivers that can all win. The last couple of years, or two or three years, the IndyCar series has put double points on the last race as well, and double points on the Indy 500. So they are both meaningful things. And the series is so strong. There's so many great drivers. They love this racetrack in St. Pete. They love that downtown St. Petersburg. They love coming to the area. So, and I've heard from almost every fan I've bumped into, hey, I hear the news, fantastic, can't wait to get back to the track, et cetera, et cetera. And so we're full steam ahead, cautiously, and it's almost a step at a time, and be prepared. And we will work very hard to increase what we need to do to promote health for our attendees.
Well, I appreciate it. If there's anybody who knows how to go 260 miles an hour into a turn very quickly, it's you guys. So I think you guys are just trained to think that way. But let me get one last thing out. So if I've purchased tickets for the Grand Prix for my family for in March, my understanding is you're still going to honor those. Help people understand how they can support you and just the experience themselves for those who follow you guys.
Yes, we are honoring all the tickets. At the last announcement we had, we were only all the tickets for the March 2021 race, not knowing whether we'd get a reschedule. Our tickets are all honored for the October race. If people actually, we'd prefer them to use in the October race. If they can't, then we'll work with them for 2021. There's a lot of online stuff on our website about how to, if you threw the tickets away, how to reprint them, et cetera, et cetera. So we've got a few of those things to work through as we get closer. But it's the fans that make the race, and the IndyCar series realizes that. And so we want to make sure everybody comes and enjoys it. We're trying to make the show as big and better.
Well, I'll tell you what. So I agree with you that the fans make the race, Kim. But I got to tell you, Kim and Kevin, you guys make St. Pete very proud of this race. And, you know, how long have you guys been doing it now? It's been 16 years or what's it been?
2005. So that's whatever the math is. And, you know, I honestly feel like the race belongs to the city. And if you don't have a good partnership with the city when you put a street race on, it's difficult. And so the city is such a great team of people to work with, a lot of key people in the city that play a big role, all the departments in the city, you know, whether it be police, fire, sanitation, it's amazing how everybody pulls together and does a great job. We could not put the race on without such a cooperative city. We couldn't put the race on also without a 400 or 500 volunteers that come and help us put the event on. So we're very thankful for those folks. It's totally a team effort, and we're very proud to say that we're a part of bringing such a good event to St. Petersburg.
Well, we are too, and we're so excited for you, Kim. We really are. So congratulations. Step by step, you're going to get there. If there's anything our community can do for you, you've got it, because we're looking forward to October. That'll be a perfect time for us to get ready and enjoy a little bit of what we've been working so hard for. So,
well, we want to thank the Chamber. The Chamber is always a great champion, and you, Chris, personally, for our event. So same likewise for us. Anything we can help do to help. We just want everybody to stay healthy. Let's try and get our life back to normal, get businesses going again, get the community going again. And I've seen St. Petersburg change so much since we put the first race on in 2005. And it's just a fun part to be a part of it. Proud to say I live here and enjoy calling this my home.
Great. Well, we'll see you soon, I hope. So we'll see you soon. Joe, thank you for helping us put this on today. We appreciate it.